I'm Chris Lindstrom, and this is the Food About Town podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by CrazyDude.com, CrazyDude.com, which is my wife's website featuring her artistic creations. From animal-based artwork to cocktail prints to landscapes, you're sure to find something you love, and that's CrazyDude.com. In episode 53 of the Food About Town podcast, I talked with Pete Chapman and his fiancée Maeve from the Smokin' Pete's Food Truck, based out of Rochester, New York. Now, they do some traveling, but they are based out of Rochester, and they're going to be at the New York State Fair for 12 days in a row. So go check them out at the New York State Fair, or you can check them out at the Food Truck Rodeo next week. At the end of the podcast, we got a whole bunch more plugs as well. We talked with Pete and Maeve about working on the truck together. We talked about some technical barbecue stuff. We talked about what is barbecue. And at the end, we talked about some of his more interesting creations and how that balances out with doing more traditional barbecue. If you're enjoying this podcast, please share it out on social media. I really appreciate that. And subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. Thanks for listening. So we've got 90 degrees sweltering heat today in Rochester, and there's a van sitting in my driveway frying up tater tots, which is one of the cooler things I've ever said. So we've got the crew. Do we call ourselves a crew?
Yeah.
Is that the technical term for what you guys are?
I guess so. The awesome crew.
Awesome crew from Smokin' Pete's.
Yep.
So how are you guys doing today?
Great. How are you?
Doing real good.
Long day.
Yeah.
So how was doing a media tour?
Oh, it's great. It was definitely different. We'd drive around everywhere and just give people tots and talk to them.
Is this the first time you've done something like this?
Yeah. We were on Channel 13 last year, but it wasn't like a media tour. We won after we won the state fair. We were, did a little interview and they got to eat more tots.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of tots.
Bringing the tots all day.
All day.
All day.
Tots
every day.
For days. I love it.
So why don't you introduce yourselves, please?
All right.
My name is Maeve. I am Peter's fiance. I work with him full time, and I'm here for the ride.
Yep. And I'm Peter Chapman, or Smokin' Pete. I own Smokin' Pete's Barbecue along with Maeve, and we both do this all the time, full time, plus time.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's from everybody I've talked to who runs a food truck, there's no such thing as full time.
No.
And people's interpretation of full-time here is 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
Full-time is, for a food truck owner, all of the time.
All the time. I don't think there is any counting hours. That would get scary.
Yeah, I don't think there's any point after a while, right?
No.
Not at all.
So, you're working a ton of hours. You're working with your fiancé.
Yep.
How is that? I'm gonna ignore you for a second.
That's fine.
I'm gonna let her answer first.
Overall, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It took some adjusting.
I'd imagine.
Especially after I quit my job and we bought a camper and it got even smaller.
Yeah.
Inside the house.
So living in a camper?
Yeah, yeah, we're living in a camper.
That's interesting for one, especially with the whole small house movement going on.
Yeah.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah, it's super mobile. Well, what we did when she left her job is winter was about to come, so we're like, we're not going to stay here. So we went to Florida all winter with the business and ourselves, and we figured the camper was the way to go, you know, until we have some more establishment. We're pretty free, you know, roaming around, selling barbecue.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole small house thing is, like, it hit, like, what, 6 months ago? Like, it's everywhere on TV.
Yeah.
It's super popular. was this kind of in your head beforehand? Is this something you've always been into, like living mobile, living
not really
without being tied down?
It just kind of came along with the food truck. You know what I mean? It seemed to make sense for us to travel with our home and our business, so we can literally go anywhere, you know, and not be tied down. I guess the tiny house thing. I mean, we're not trying to be hip or anything.
It just sort of worked out. We didn't want to stay where we were. We were ready to move on. Yeah. The business was going well.
Sure.
So I decided to quit my job and head to Florida.
Yeah. And now we're back home.
Yeah.
Quit your job and head to Florida can really end terribly or end fantastically. There's so many stories about Florida.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I quit my job and I went to Florida and then I was tending gators.
We were smoking gators.
Slinging tots.
So let's talk about Florida for a second before we get into everything else. So
yep.
I first had your guys' food last September. You were at One Food Truck Rodeo last year. And then that was it, and you left for Florida.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm. Right after that, we did a music festival there on Halloween. We drove right from here to that festival, did the festival for 4 days, and then we lived in Florida, and we set up in West Palm Beach, worked at breweries, hung out, you know, and smoked a lot of meat, and then we did another big music festival in March, and then came home early April back to Rochester for the summer.
We came home too early.
Yeah, we came home too early.
It snowed.
Yeah, it's always too early.
Yeah.
Yeah, May is too early because you're going to get snow in May. I mean, that's part of the deal.
But it's okay. Mm-hmm. We love it. You know, love being here. This is where we grew up. This is where we're from. So I mean,
I grew up in the south towns of Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pete, you're from Chi-Li. You're from here? Oh,
yeah.
Chi-Li.
Yeah.
The mean streets of Chi-Li.
Oh, it's rough out there.
Yeah. All the tract housing and
it's
pretty great.
I know, it was nice. We had a nice backyard, hang out, smoke barbecue in.
And Maeve?
I'm from Penyan.
Penyan, okay. Yeah,
the Finger Lakes.
So yeah, Penyan's an interesting town, isn't it? I mean, it's kind of quiet.
Yeah, it's small.
Has it changed a lot? I don't know much about it.
No, it's surrounded by Cuca Lake, so that's always fun. It's really small, so I wanted to get away when I went to college. So I went to MCC, and that's where I found Peter.
Yep.
What were you guys studying at the time?
I was studying business, and then I switched over to geography when I went to UB. Yeah.
Okay. Those are very different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The business market was very competitive.
Oh, so absolutely.
Switching to geography was more fun.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's that competitive nature of, I mean, people who are in business, especially those that make business their, like the way they live their life, it's kind of stressful and kind of, it's all encompassing. Like I understand business. That is what I do like on a day to day basis, but it's not how I live my life. You know, I help my wife with her art stuff and everything else, but it's the people that live for business administration. I'm not sure I get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know anything about any of that stuff.
I'm glad I took some classes because it's helping out now running the business, but
mm-hmm. I'm sure it helps a lot.
Yeah.
What about you? What were you studying?
I wasn't in school, actually. We met through a mutual friend that she was in school with. I had just gotten out of the Air Force at the time.
Okay.
I was learning to weld at the time. And then,
which is it's a good trades thing. I mean, I actually work in a place that has welders and you know, trained welders. And kind of an underappreciated career nowadays.
Yeah, I loved it. Actually, I loved working with metal, working with steel and stuff like that. So that was cool. I actually built, like, I'll talk about it maybe in a little bit, but I actually built my first smoker in my welding school. So everything, all my smokers I use are 100% homemade, hand-built.
No, let's talk about it now. That's really interesting. Well, so what was the first thing that got you into cooking barbecue? I mean,
Like I was been talking to a few people about, like, I remember I was a junior in high school and I don't know what made me do it, but I just saw this little teeny like $25 smoker and I just picked it up and I fired up in my backyard. I didn't know really what I was doing, but just the whole vibe that it was putting off, the whole like lighting a fire, watching the smoke go, you know, keeping it was like relaxed and comfortable, you know, and I just loved it. And then the food at the end was amazing. It's a great bonus.
Do you remember the first thing you cooked?
Yeah, it was jerky. I made beef jerky.
Oh, it's a great first thing to cook.
Yeah, it was pretty simple. I bought like a flank steak and marinated a little bit and then fired it up. You know,
well, even went flank steak.
Yeah,
good man. Like, I appreciate that.
Let's do it right.
Doing real cuts of meat.
Yeah. So that's what I did for the first time. You know, and I just the whole process.
Yeah,
fell in love with it. So I never really thought that I'd be doing it as a career,
you know,
or something like that. But
well, I was gonna say, so I mean, you started, you made your own. You made your own smoker early on.
Yeah. Well, that was in 2012 when I met her, when I learned to weld. I actually built my main smoker that I use now. It's probably like a 12-foot long trailer. It's like 200-gallon propane tanks that I cut the ends off and welded them together. And it's
okay.
It's all wood-fired, just a horizontal
offset
smoker. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Actually, when I was in high school, I just wanted one so bad, and I just had the idea in my head. I didn't know how to weld, I didn't know how to do anything, but I remember I went to the steel place, and I bought this big tube, and I was like, that's going to be my smokestack, and it sat in my parents' garage from high school. I went in the Air Force. I was gone for 4 years. I came back, learned to weld, and I actually used that same pipe on my smoker that I have now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So I never really, I guess I didn't really have it planned out. It just, I was always in my head. You know, I always wanted it, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Sometimes when you find something that grabs your passion,
mm-hmm.
and you've always had it, and you always had something sitting in the background,
because
mm-hmm. I love the fact that you thought of it, yeah. and that you had it there.
I had it just
and when
there.
when it struck you, when you decided to, you know, strike off and do it.
Yeah, it was great to, it was such a cool feeling to have something that's been in my head for like 6 years, and then looking at it, and it's like, there it is, like, hell yeah, like, that was great.
So I mean, a 12-foot's pretty sizable. It's on a trailer.
Yeah, I built the trailer too. Everything
awesome
all from scratch. So
that's some good serious welding, right?
Oh,
there.
Oh yeah,
A plus in welding school.
That was yeah, I did. That was actually my project for the welding class I took at Mahaney Welding at Elm Grove.
And yeah, yeah.
My final thing that I built.
I know the place.
It was the smoker. So it was cool.
That's great. I mean, a trailer smoker is legitimate. I mean, 12 mm-hmm. feet's that's a lot of meat all at the same time.
Oh yeah, we can cook about 24 pork shoulders at a time, or we fit 14 whole briskets in there.
Wow.
One or the other. So I don't even know how many ribs and stuff. A lot. So,
a couple
yeah.
ribs.
Yeah, right a there. Couple here or there. Two, three.
Wow. I mean, that's a great trailer. Then for putting out massive, you know, real volume of meat,
mm-hmm.
you kind of have to go in big batches.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I remember last year we were using it, you know, like, one full load a week would be like way more than enough, and we're cooking like 5 nights a week now,
yeah,
just nonstop. So we just keep up. So,
well, it's everything you can hope for.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Just need a bigger smoker now.
I think you know the guy.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, you talked about a little bit about making the smoker. When did you actually decide to? I mean, what were you doing welding full time when you did this, or did you yep. just edge right into it?
No, I took the welding class. I built the smoker, and it just kind of was there. You know, I didn't have any business plans with it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. I just made it, and it was so cool. So I just started like playing with it for fun on the side. But I was working full time. You said your wife does artwork.
Yep.
You're familiar with any metal artists in Rochester?
I've heard of some, not many.
Albert Paley?
I'm not sure I have.
All right. He does a lot of huge sculpture, fine art.
Actually, no,
like
I take that back. I've definitely heard the name. Now,
yeah, he's
now
at RIT. He's got his big centennial sculpture there.
That
he's
would
got
be why.
Bausch & Lomb. He's got a big sculpture right in front of the Mag near Village Gate.
Yep.
I actually did a lot of the fabrication on that one right in front of Village Gate.
Oh, yeah, I definitely know those. Yep.
Yep. So, I worked for him welding for 2 years or so, maybe two and a half. I left, and then when I went away with her for her job, and then I came back and worked part-time while I was building the food truck, and they're great people. So they actually learned a lot there, fabricating and stuff like that, and they were nice. So, and Albert Paley was actually great for me, a great motivator. He motivates a lot of people with his artwork, and he motivated me with his just his drive and, you know, being a self-made man and hard work and stuff like that. It really pushed me to become what I am, I guess.
It's definitely important to have somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's where you, how you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's something later. Cause you know, when, regardless of how you grew up, even if you had the right person there at the time,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you're not old enough to realize.
You don't get it. Yeah.
You're not old enough to realize where inspiration's coming from.
Yeah. So I kind of learned a lot later on, you know. That's the reason I went in the military, is because I didn't know what I wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like I need to do something, so I did that. And then after that, I kind of figured it out by myself.
Well, and it's the right choice for a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, it was good. It made me realize that I don't want to be in the military.
And that's That's the one of the more important things you can learn from being in the military.
Yeah, totally. Is that
this is not where I'm supposed to be.
This isn't for me. You know, some people it's great. You know, I could see the pluses of it. You know, whatever. But I'm happy that I'm my own man. You know.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, just from brief meeting, it seems like you're a bit of a free thinker, free spirit kind of guy.
Yeah, I try to be.
You want to be around. Be around, go to a bunch of places, try different stuff.
Yeah, go fun where fun places are, do what we want to do, you know.
Yeah.
Just kind of live the life, you know, whatever. So,
yeah. All right, so you struck off, you started the truck.
Yep.
And what year was that?
Well, the truck was 2015 Memorial Day we opened, but we've been in business since 2014. The smoker, like the big smoker, like it was just sitting there. And then my friends, like we started cooking at parties and this and that and the other. And then eventually people wanted me to cater and people were paying me. And then I was like, oh, well, maybe we can do this a little more. And then we started with an Easy Up and we were vending out of that for the first year. And then we're like, it was a lot of work, like setting up, tearing down. You can only do one event every weekend. We were smoking on site, you know, and it was just like nonstop,
no sleep
at all, and then serve for 20 hours and then smoke again and then serve for 20 hours and smoke again. So we were kind of like, all right, this is good, people are liking it, you know, business is going well, but we're like, we need to figure something else out that would make it simpler, and the food truck seemed to be the way for that. So
well, I mean, especially storage wise I mean, storage has got to be one of the best things about it.
Oh, it's wonderful. And it's wonderful that it's all there. You know, I just roll in, I open the window, and we're ready to go. You know, nothing.
Permanently welded.
Permanently, yeah.
No in and out.
Yeah, no tearing down, no cleaning equipment, shoving it in the back of that big sketchy van. You know? So.
That's my wife came out, and we were looking at the van. It's like, oh, we got tater tots in here. Come on in. I mean,
Come on in.
Oh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, setting up tents is, it is easy-ish,
yeah,
but it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
We just did Park Ave Fest this last weekend.
Yeah.
My wife was selling out there, and man, just loading and unloading is stressful.
No, totally.
It's a lot of day.
A lot of day, yeah. You have to get there a whole day early, really, you know, and that's the nice thing about the food truck is, like, event starts on Saturday, we can get there Saturday morning, you know, and just be ready to go. And like with the tent, we got to get there on Friday and set up and then start cooking and da 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 da. And food truck's wonderful. And then we can do weekday events, we can do lunches, we can do this and that, you know, and just kind of roll in, roll out. So it's actually wonderful. You know, I'm happy that it grew into this. So I really understand a lot about the business, the vending business, and how things go. But the food truck is definitely wonderful.
Yeah.
I really like it. So.
Yeah, is that the biggest convenience of the food truck?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. Yeah. And we got a smoker in the food truck, too.
Do you really?
All wood-fired smoker that I built that one, too. This one is a little more high-end than the other one. This I modeled it after some of the guys use them in competitions. They're insulated, reverse-flow, vertical cabinet smokers.
Okay,
It's all wood-fired. I use charcoal and wood, you know, charcoal to keep a base, but I use all wood, no gas, none of that, you know, and we can hold 4 whole briskets in there, 8 pork butts, you know, so it's not as big as the other one, but it's still good
amount.
Yeah,
but that's not bad.
No, it's still great, you know, and it's wonderful, you know.
It's good for last-minute smokes at the end of the music festival.
Yeah,
it works really nice, you know, and it's nice, too, because it's insulated. It holds temp for about, like, 7.5 hours before I have to add fuel.
Mm. And we can work in the truck while it's smoking.
Yep.
Oh, really?
You can't even tell it's going.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so until I open the door. It's great. We put it right in the center behind the window, so, like, if we're smoking in there and people are in line, I open that thing up, just bellows smoke out, and it's, like, a great, like, showpiece, and it's wonderful. It does a great job. So
yeah.
I really love that smoker, too.
Oh, that's really interesting, especially, I mean, if you're doing a specific event, you can, and somebody wants it right off, because, I mean, you can't do everything to order. You can't, I mean, it's smoking.
Yeah, it's
takes
tough.
Serious time.
It's like, oh, we sold out of brisket. Yeah, come back in like 14 hours and make another one.
Is that, what's your average cook time if you're?
Yeah, about 12 to 14 hours for both pork and brisket. Those are our two main things that we do. We do also do chicken. We smoke whole chickens and pull them, and we do them in quesadillas. It's really popular, and tacos and stuff. Those take like 6 or 7 hours. But the brisket and the pork, depending on how good I am at watching the fire that night, 12, 14 hours, you know, sometimes a little more. So
I mean, barbecue is an inherently long process.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure we talked a lot of barbecue on the podcast, so I'm going to take a step back.
Okay,
and
yeah.
We're going to say what is barbecue? I mean, it's so many things.
Yeah, oh yeah, totally.
But what's our What do you guys think the general consensus definition of barbecue is?
Oh, man. What, like most people think of barbecue?
Yeah, sure.
I think a lot of people think barbecue is just like grilling a burger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm barbecuing today, you know, or something like that, mm-hmm. you know, but I don't know. Some people, you know, it depends on how in depth with it you want to get, you know, but to me, barbecue is like, you know, cooking giant, huge cuts of meat for a long time over low temperature, low and slow, you know, just cooking it with smoke and a little bit of heat.
Offset.
Yeah, there's different ways to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the offset, it's definitely what we consider, at least what we seem to consider in America, the modern barbecue style is offset, no direct heat.
No direct heat, yeah. So you're just cooking it with the, you know, the heat, whatever.
Stack of wood by your side and the stars up above you.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, yeah, I could get really in-depth with tart.
You can see the smoke rolling through the neighborhoods at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we might get a little bit more in-depth because I'm a technical nerd when it comes to cooking.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff.
I love it too. That's what I got a little sign that says, warning, may spontaneously talk about barbecue.
Yeah. But what I was going to ask is, so we're talking long cook times, 12, 14 hours for your pork butts.
Yep.
That's pork shoulder or what everybody would refer to as pulled pork.
Yep.
And your briskets, basically you're staying up nights. You're...
Mm-hmm.
You're taking naps, checking temps. And
we don't really get full night sleeps.
You know, yeah.
Every hour and a half, 45 minutes, set an alarm, wake up, throw a log in, check the meat, go back to bed.
It's got to be a weird transition.
I mean...
We're used to it now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can get used to just about anything.
Yeah. There's not a lot of...
It was terrible when I was still working full time.
Oh,
and
God,
his yeah. alarm would go off every hour and a half.
Well, so you're checking on your meat baby every 45 minutes. The meat baby needs attention.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. There's nights where I get up and I'm like, I don't want to do this. But then I just go out there and do it, and it's worth it next day. So
you're mentioning you're doing the pork, you're doing the brisket, you're doing chickens.
Mm-hmm.
What's the hardest thing for you guys to cook? What's the one that gave you the most trouble? I mean, you may have figured it out now, but what's the one that gave you the most trouble when you started getting into it?
It's definitely the brisket. I mean, that's how I feel like everybody across the board. It's hard. It's a hard thing for people to understand, you know, but I'm confident in it now for sure. We've done so many of them. It's
a challenging cut of meat. I mean, it's
still challenging. You know, if I miss one step on that thing, I can ruin it. You know, it's not cheap either. So it's definitely like it's got that other thing coming down on you. Plus, you got to get it just right. And you know, like there's good brisket and then there's the rest of the brisket.
Yeah.
You know?
And when it's wrong, it's so notably bad.
Yeah.
Like pulled pork is a lot of variability where it can be acceptable.
Oh, totally.
Chickens, you have a lot of wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
Brisket, when it's bad, it's nearly
terrible.
Inedible.
Yeah, it's awful. Maeve knows. Not from my brisket, though, but we won't get into that too much, just to be nice to other people.
Yeah, but I mean, it gets like cotton candy dry, and it gets really, it's unpleasant.
Dry, chewy, or it's like, I don't know how, but they burn it and shred it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like.
I mean, it is a notably tough, it's a tough cut of meat, it's a working muscle,
mm-hmm.
which is why it has so much flavor.
Yeah, and that's why people in the barbecue world started using it at first. It used to be cheap and because nobody wanted it because it was so tough, but people would smoke it for so long it'd break it down and be wonderful.
It wasn't that long ago when brisket was a cheap meat.
Yeah.
I mean, even 10, 15 years ago was half the price
mm-hmm.
relatively to what it is now.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive now. It's almost $4 a pound.
Yeah.
So raw, you know, and it's a good amount. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, if you figure it out, you know, and you can make a good brisket, that's one thing that definitely edge up on everybody else, which is great.
It's kind of the star of the barbecue world right now. If you think of mm-hmm. if you're a food nerd, you know, anybody you know who's a name in barbecue, I mean, you say Aaron Franklin, it is brisket.
That's all it is.
And he made his career, you know, national acclaim on brisket.
Sell out brisket every day.
Yeah. And if you go to Texas, that is all they care about is brisket.
Yeah, which is great.
We can't wait to go.
Yeah, I can't wait. I want to go on a barbecue tour and just hit them up because see what's out there. I've never been to Texas.
I'm going
to
say you got a whole winter, and if you're ballsy, you're going to cook down there too.
Oh, I kind of want to. I really do.
I love that. I love that. I mean, if you're going
to
do it.
Yeah, I love my favorite thing actually being up here or whatever is when people from Texas come up to me. they're like, I'm from Texas, I want to try your brisket. I'm like, yep, here, try it, let me know what you think. And I've never gotten any harsh feedback, so
nice.
They love it. So that's pretty, makes me feel pretty good.
I mean, that's a badass thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's one of those things you got to have confidence in.
Oh, totally.
You got to work your technique. You have to understand where you're coming from, what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have like a specific barbecue inspiration? Like, is it Texas brisket? Is it, you know, North Carolina? There's so many different regional, you know, barbecue styles in America.
I'd say I don't really. I kind of just go for what's delicious. That's why, people ask me like about the flag. There's a few reasons why I do the flag on the truck. One of them is because I like to encompass all of America and just kind of do whatever is good. Like, we have a Carolina on our menu, you know, and stuff like that. And then I guess my brisket's definitely Texas. And then we do burnt ends, but that's Memphis. You know, it's just like,
absolutely.
So like we hit it all, you know. And I don't think I try and be like anybody else. I just do what I think's delicious. And if it ends up being like someone else's, then all right, yeah, I'm like that. But I'm not trying to mirror it or be like that. I don't know. It's cooking for what's good.
I think that's a good thing to do anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can try and mimic whoever you want to mimic, but
yeah.
At the end, you really need to please yourself. And I think regardless if you're, you know, it's a bit of an art form in the end. You really mm-hmm. need to be your own harshest critic. You need to be critical of your work.
Oh my God. Yeah,
we are.
You should see me when I cut into a brisket and I'm like, oh man, this one could have been better. And then someone eats it like, that's the best brisket I ever had. I'm like, whatever. So it's just like,
I mean, I see. It looks like you got some specific memories of
yeah.
tough. What's a good one?
Just him in general pulling it off and having us taste it, and it's delicious, but he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
So then I eat his.
Taste. Well, it's you have to be critical, because if you've got that. If you want to be known for something, you can't just stand on okay.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that there's not much margin for error.
No, not at all. You know, like some guys come in and they just, their whole business motto is, you know, whatever, they're never going to see me again. I'm going to make some money and then never see them again. Like, I want people to come back. I want them to love it. You know, I want them to share what I experience with it, you know, all the
yeah.
time, consistently, forever.
Appreciate it the
yeah.
way that we do.
Yeah. I feel like the most part people do, you know, so that's good.
Well, and it's when I talk to somebody, I want to find where their core passion is. What do you really care about? Because
mm-hmm.
there's people, you know, as we were talking about before, the business people, where they might be doing something that they like, but they love the business part of it.
Yeah.
And it's not about the thing. You can be a restaurant owner and not care about the food.
Yeah.
As long as you're making money.
Yeah.
And there's other people who, you know, it's important to make money and it's important to do well.
Yeah,
but when it comes down to it, you care if the food's great.
Oh yeah, number one, the money will come. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think that if I put my heart and soul into what I really like, then I feel like the money will come later.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think I'm just lucky that I'm able to do what I really like and make money off it. That's pretty great. So.
I definitely appreciate that. It's again, it takes confidence and it takes some balls to get out there and just mm-hmm. do what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
Because it's a grind. I mean, food truck life and cooking life is hard.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, like a lot of people see it, you know, as a good opportunity for business and stuff, which it is, you know, but you got to do it right and you got to work hard. I think that's where that work hard thing, I think some people don't understand it all the way, you know, and I'm just, Maeve knows. She works
hard. Yeah,
right.
I've learned.
Yeah, she's learned. She's definitely a grunt now.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure it seemed different in the beginning, too.
It definitely seemed different in the beginning.
So what's the hardest part for you?
Waking up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
To rotate the meat.
Is that the one?
It hasn't gotten easier yet.
No. Yeah.
Interrupted sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine if you got to wake up for 10 minutes to throw a log in, or maybe like 3 minutes and then go back to sleep. But if you got to wake up for an hour or 3 a.m. to.
Sometimes it's hard to fall back asleep.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm sure.
And then work the next morning. And have our employee come in and try and work with him.
Yeah.
Can be difficult.
Then you have to have patience without sleeping.
I mean, you can only have so much coffee.
I was going to say coffee,
yeah. You kind of go on, you know, overload of trying to keep yourself up.
Yeah.
Sometimes then you get your third round of energy.
Then your fourth round of
doing
energy.
Doing cartwheels in the back. Then you're falling asleep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it's I'm sure that's got to be a constant thing. And then you crash after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we did after this weekend.
Still kind of.
We were supposed to work on Monday, and I was like, nah.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've definitely all been there.
Yeah.
Where you just keep on going, and then it's one day you just can't.
No, you're just like, I need to go to bed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we're good. Then we do it again.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So, I mean, let's do a little bit about barbecue nerdery.
Okay.
So.
I like it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, I don't know if you pay attention to like online food writing at all.
If I see it.
If you see it. Yeah. There's been a series of posts over the last, I'd say 2-3 weeks on Serious Eats by my favorite food writer. Kenji Lopez Alt, he's the main guy on Serious Eats. He does the Food Lab column. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the, I wouldn't say he's necessarily 100% modernist cooking, but he'll break down all the techniques and try and find out how to do it differently or do it better.
Oh, cool.
And I'm kind of glad Barbecue Person's here because one of the things he's been doing over the last few weeks is simulating barbecue with a sous vide machine.
Oh, okay.
So cooking low, cooking slow.
Yeah, sous vide can definitely do that.
Adding smoke.
Yeah.
or finishing it on a grill.
Yeah.
Not you know, offset, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, non-direct. Searing. Yeah.
No, not, I mean, non-direct and doing like smoke on a grill.
Okay. All right.
Like a, you know, a big Weber or something.
Yeah,
where
put the fire on the one side and have the meat on the other. Yeah.
But you do most of the cooking with the sous vide machine.
Okay.
And this got barbecue people riled up over the last couple of weeks.
The only thing I'm going to ask first is, what's the smoke ring look like?
Depends on how you do it. If you put it in the smoker, looks almost the same.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay.
Or, I mean, the smoke ring, so he breaks it down scientifically a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of just exposure to, oh, geez, I want to say it's carbon monoxide, but you could simulate the ring and you can't tell the difference by using pink salt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Kind of like soaks in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So what makes corned beef red is the nitrates in pink salt, or you can just put nitrate salt on.
Yeah.
And you essentially put a ring on there. Then either you add smoke with a liquid or you throw it on with wood on an actual grill.
Yeah. Well, might as well just do it all with wood. I mean, I guess if you want to be, you know, true to it or try and be modern, I guess it's up to you. If you can make a great flavor, then winning, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess I wouldn't be opposed to trying something different. I wouldn't probably ever do it differently than how I do it now, but
sure.
If somebody else can do it and make a great product, then sweet.
Yeah.
I mean,
because it's one of those interesting things because it got so much play with the, I don't know what you want to call it, the barbecue purists online. And they were, you know, you can't call it barbecue, you can't call it this, you can't call it that.
Yeah.
But I think personally, when I hear something like that, it kind of all comes down to the fact that does it taste great? Is it, you know, does it really provide the essence of what barbecue is? Does it provide a tough cut of meat turned better?
I guess it's all opinion, you know. I mean, I'm never gonna, I don't feel like I ever want to pick sides too much, but like, if you feel like to you that's how you like barbecue and it's wonderful for you, then hell yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sweet, you know, but I'm not gonna say anything opposed to it.
Yeah.
Know? So
we haven't tried it before.
I haven't tried
obviously.
It.
That's true.
Yeah.
Can't knock it till you try
haven't
it.
Haven't heard much. Wait. About it.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah, and it's, again, it was relatively new because it's such a, there's so much to what a smoked product is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so many different things. It's that outer crust.
Yeah, the bark.
I mean, talk about bark for a second.
It's the best part.
Yeah, Maeve loves
it. It's the chef's cut.
Oh, yeah, the chef's cut. That's the part that I don't serve off the truck because I eat it every time.
Mm.
But, oh, man. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's something, like my smoker in the food truck, that one doesn't use as much wood because I mix it with charcoal. And the bark is good, but it's not as good as the other one, the big offset smoker, because that's just log after log after log.
And if you eat it as much as we do, you can tell the difference.
Yeah, you can totally tell the difference.
Yeah. So,
and it's still great all the way around, you know, but I don't know. That's an important flavor part. You know, you take those spices and whatever, and you just makes a nice crunchy wood crust. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it's the texture. I mean, when you've got soft... soft, tender inside of the meat. Mm-hmm. And you get that little crunch and that salty kick. And if you're using spices, mm-hmm. You know, brisket's one of those lightly spiced. I mean, you guys do it lightly spiced.
Yeah, well, we use...
I mean, not a lot of different spices.
Not a lot of difference. We use only three main spices, you know, but we use them well. You know, it's a big cut of meat, so it's a good little peppery there. You know, got a little spice from that, but we try not to get too crazy with it. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Kiss.
We've tried a few things in the past, but we have come down to just the three.
Yeah, so... I don't know if I should tell anybody or not. You're supposed to have secrets. That's at least what they tell me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it sounds so mysterious.
Yeah, I know. Salt, pepper, and paprika.
But that's the thing. I mean, when it comes down to it, is a technique-driven thing.
Yeah.
You can have all the secrets in your rub you want. If you're cooking too hot, if you're not using, you know, the right kind of wood for your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that reminds me. Wood.
Shag bark hickory.
Why?
Because I love it.
Specifically that wood.
I don't know. There's just something about it when you're smoking it. Like, it's so hard to describe. But in the middle of the night, after the meat's been in there for like 5 or 6 hours, and you got a nice thin blue stream of smoke coming out of that smoker, there's like something about it that just like grabs like deep in your nostrils. It's like a sharp bite of like awesomeness. You can almost like taste it from just the smell, and I feel like that shag bark specifically to me is just gets you that, and it's just so wonderful on brisket. And I don't know any more about it other than that. I just think it's awesome.
We've tried regular hickory.
We have the butternut hickory, and we've tried oak is good too.
Apple,
I mean, they're apple,
cherry.
Yeah, cherry. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of different woods and they're all great, but something about just using shag bark, and it's just, oh, I just love it. It's just like the sharpness, especially with the brisket. It's just like, whew, it's so good. So,
do you notice the difference even between like regular hickory, and you can taste the difference?
Yeah, I think I can see the difference in the smoke, and I think you can taste the difference. You know, with the butternut hickory, I feel like it's a lot thicker, whiter smoke, you know, and that can lead to like a buildup of the, what is it, creosote,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And I just don't like that.
It's the burned flavors. I mean,
yeah, you don't want it to be burned. Like with your smoke, when it's going through your smoker, you want really good flow. You want it to kiss your meat and continue on, and just a nice, fresh, always constant, you know, like I said, thin blue stream of smoke. You know, I think that is key too. Some people like close off the exhaust and it's just like bacon in there and this white, hot smoke. It's just no good. So, yeah. I don't know. Like a lot of it comes down to feel, like instinct that you just learn over time. I guess I couldn't. I mean, if I probably sat here long enough, I could probably try and describe it in some crazy words that wouldn't make sense. But it's just something you gather over time. I think that's why they call it a pit master, too. It's like because you master your art and just like you understand it. You have a deep down feel for it, you know. So
maybe if we live somewhere else, we'll try some different one at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just swear. The visual of that the, you know, the blue smoke kissing the meat and moving around,
just
and
rolling in there like waves on the ocean.
Kind of like, I mean, well, like a better way of saying it, it's like a spiritual thing. Like it's all just flowing around the whole thing.
That's what I was trying to describe earlier. It's like that feeling, you know, and that just standing there watching that and just feeling it and flowing with it. Just like, it's, I love it. It got me so hooked. It's like something deeper than, oh, this tastes good. You know, it's like, this is just so passionate about it, you know. It's awesome. That's why I really, really like barbecue. So so I don't mind waking up every hour and a half and going outside. It's nice sometimes.
I'll remember that next time.
Hey,
you said you like doing it.
So get outside.
Putting the sleep mask back on. Oh, putting the earplugs back in.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear the briskets hitting the grate again. Oh, putting earplugs in.
Oh, whatever. I'll do it. I love it.
I mean, so that's probably the best I could ever hope for, is that description. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Thanks.
So we talked a little bit about Florida.
Yep.
I mean, so you grew up here.
Yep.
What's the biggest difference you noted about doing stuff down there, about working down there in Florida?
Oh, my God. I don't know. It's just hot all the time in December. In January, it was hot. I don't know. People... It's the same kind of flow. I mean, I brought all my equipment down, you know, so I felt at home.
We brought a lot of wood down, too.
Yeah, I brought a lot of shag bark down with me, so I could... I think people weren't used to that down there, too, and I think that made a difference. People loved it down there.
Yeah.
They were like, holy cow, And then one guy wouldn't try my food because I was from New York, and then everybody was getting it, and he finally got it, and he loved it. So I was like, yeah, whatever.
I learned that guy good.
Yeah, taught you well.
Well, because I mean, when you're down south, I mean, people have very different ideas of barbecue. I think it's more territorial.
It's crazy. That's the thing about Florida is that everybody's from everywhere, too. So yeah. You're getting it all over, That's true. Left coming from left to right. People are like, oh, they do it this way here, they do it this way here, there's here. But
right, because you can get guys from Montreal that have smoked meat.
Yeah.
And that's such a different product than a pastrami out of New York or all these different cuts where you turn brisket into different things.
Uh-huh.
Actually, they don't even use brisket in Montreal. They actually use a different cut of meat.
Do they really?
Yeah. It's a different cut of meat. I forget what it is, but it's a slightly different cut of meat.
Mm.
I was actually reading today there was someplace doing chuck roll as a brisket-like meat.
Oh, wow. I mean, I feel like some of these people around here maybe do it too. When you get pulled brisket or shredded brisket, I raise my eyebrow and I'm like, is this brisket?
Yeah, I mean, because it's... At that point, you're also using the expensive cut and you're shredding it.
Yeah, why do that? Might as well do it.
Only if you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
only if you.
Yeah, if you mess it up.
Yeah. overcooked it.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, yeah, I've always found Florida an interesting place, having visited there, because it's such. People only think of it as there's Orlando and there's Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a big state.
It's ridiculous.
A lot of country state. It's a very.
Oh, yeah. If you're not on the coast,
it's a very rural state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's cows and farms and all that sorts of stuff. But we were on the coast. We were in West Palm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were busy. Busy area. You know, definitely a lot going on.
Nice.
Good for business, I guess. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did you get to explore it all?
Yeah, a little bit. We went to the... Where was that? Remember?
We went to the Everglades.
Everglades. That was terrible.
We went.
Why was it terrible?
Oh, my God. Are you serious? There's like mosquitoes bigger than her head. Just like biting you all over the place. Now it's dangerous down there, too, with mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah. My wife would blow up. She's got the allergies thing.
Oh, man.
So when she gets... We were camping once, and she got mosquito bit her on the eye, and her whole eye area swelled up and she could barely see out of it.
No.
That's terrible.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, it's not
good. Oh,
yeah,
I feel so bad because like, I get bitten and I was like, oh, whatever. It doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah. Well, if there's like 1,000 of them biting you at once, it wouldn't. Air would bother you. That's how Everglades
it's
were.
It's thick with mosquitoes.
Oh, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was rough. So, yeah, whatever. That
we
was
went
cool.
to the beach as much as we could.
Yeah.
We went to the Sebastian Inlet for my birthday and we saw a lot of fishermen catching huge fish we've never seen in real
Dingrays,
life before.
Dolphins. Well, they didn't catch the dolphins. There were dolphins.
Red snapper.
Mm. Yeah, that was cool. It was really, Florida was awesome. The ocean, oh my God. If you're having a stressed out day at work and you go sit in the ocean, it just wipes it out.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, so. It's got to be a nice change of pace too. Because it's
always sunny.
Always sunny.
Yeah. That was a plus.
Yeah, because it's a different way of being than it is up here.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I liked it. It was good. But I did miss... Summers in New York. I miss the green, even though we don't have a lot of it right now.
No, very little.
You know, just you miss that. You know, just the different feel, the humidity, and blah, 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 blah.
It was just us two down there. We weren't down there with anyone we really knew. So.
Okay.
We were on workcation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and it's continuing that, like, you're working together, you're doing everything, and that's got to...
It was a good test.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd have to imagine.
We came back positive.
Yeah, I came back positive. Still doing
we
this.
Still like each other.
I was gonna say that's gotta mean that's how long were you down there?
Halloween
5 months.
Until April. Yeah, 5 or 6 months.
I mean that's a pretty good haul. I mean that's a long haul down
there.
Oh,
it
yeah.
made it worth it to be down there that long
we
to get all the
busy.
Permits.
Yeah, we're still permitted in Florida. We could drive to Florida today and go work down there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's kinda nice, you know. And that was a whole another hurdle figuring out business wise, you know, and stuff. But we did it.
Yeah.
So it's cool.
Nice.
Definitely possible.
Well, let's transition a little bit and let's talk about non-traditional barbecue dishes, which is kind of what you guys are known for now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Making regular barbecue things extra delicious with things that aren't regularly barbecue.
Yeah.
Like tater tots.
Yeah, because that's that's what we had today.
Yeah.
So you brought over your new creation for the New York State Fair this year.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, we're doing it only at the fair.
So go ahead and describe what this is. I want to talk about it for a few minutes after, but
yeah,
describe what you're doing this year.
This year at the fair, we're offering our new dish. It's the Outlaw Poutine, it's called. And it's brisket, like we've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
on top of tater tots covered with New York State cheese curds, our own brisket gravy that we made, and bacon bits, and a little bit of chives there, too. Have some green.
Mm-hmm.
Try and be healthy.
the bounty of New York State in the form of chives.
Chives. Sour cream count as a vegetable?
Oh, I'm sure it does. Yeah. In Wisconsin, it does.
Yeah, there we go.
So you started, I mean, when I tried your food for the first time last year, I tried loaded.
Our loaded tots, which is our first tater tot dish that we've been doing since the beginning. You
know, okay.
You had earlier I made you the one in the fryer that we used at our first event to make them. It's a little teeny fryer. So yeah, we last year you tried our loaded tots, which is pulled pork, over tater tots with cheddar cheese and bacon bits and pulled pork and barbecue sauce and chives and sour cream.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and that's what we won the New York State Fair food truck competition with last year.
Mm-hmm.
Won people's choice with that dish, you know, and it's been our most popular item, you know, and people really love it, you know. So creative twists on the traditional classics, you know.
So obviously it's popular. It's mm-hmm. winning awards at these kind of things.
Yep.
What's the biggest difference between working something like the New York State Fair and dealing with a typical crowd?
Oh, man, it's just the volume, and it's nonstop. You know, when we did the fair last year, we were only there for one day. We only experienced 7 hours of it. We were open for, I think we did 1,500 samples.
Wow.
Hours. Yeah, 30 seconds in order.
Are they a sample? You have to have a sample available? Is that part of the deal?
That was for the competition. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We did a little
2 ounce portion.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a little
get a taste.
Than that. Yeah, get a taste. Because there was a lot of trucks. There were 12 trucks competing. So the idea was you sell $2 samples and everybody gets to try everybody and vote.
Okay.
So that's how it was last year. This year we're doing just full on vending. So we're just going to do full size portions and how we normally do. So that's going to be a lot of prep, a lot of food. We're thinking like 300 briskets for the fair.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you doing 2 days?
12 days.
12 days.
12
wow.
days in a row. 12 days, 12-hour days every day, smoking every day.
Wow.
I'm actually, one of my buddies out in Syracuse is Galloway, does a barbecue out there.
Okay.
And renting one of his smokers just because I didn't have enough room, you know, to do it every day. So,
I mean, that's a giant amount of value.
Yeah, we're going to be cranking, so...
Is this the biggest event you've ever done?
It will be. Yep.
Definitely.
We've done big events. We've done events with we did a camping music festival. There were 35,000 people there for 4 days straight. And we stayed open for 24 hours for 4 days. But this one, I think the fair says they get anywhere from like 80 to 100,000 people a day
mm-hmm.
for 12 days, 12-hour days. We're not open. We're not open 24 hours, but we'll be working 24 hours.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We're going to drive our camper there and live there for 16 days.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the only way you could even pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I guess got a little cot. I'm going to sit behind the food truck and smoke meat every night.
Yeah.
Take naps when I can. Should be good, though.
I mean, that's intense. That's a crazy schedule.
It is.
Because I know the people that do, like, when you do even, like, the street festivals here or... I know the people who do Jazz Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jazz Fest is, you know, running 10 days.
10 days long, yeah.
10 days is rough, not open that long.
Yeah, we're going to be open for 12 hours, 10 to 10 every day, at least. They said if there's like a concert or something, we can stay open later. But
wow.
Yeah, for 12 days.
We'll see how long the meat lasts.
Yeah, I'm honestly worried about that a little bit. That's why we're going to try and smoke a ton.
Yeah.
So, because I don't want to sell out of Puting Dots because they're the best thing. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's an aggressive schedule. I mean, I'm impressed that you're trying it.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Not a lot of food trucks do it. A lot of food trucks shy away from it. You know, there's a lot of overhead that goes into it up front, you know,
huge.
And stuff. Huge, definitely scary for some people, you know, and stuff. And it's a little intimidating for us, but I'm confident that we got the good crew, you know, and we are ready, you know. So, yeah, a lot of different experience doing other stuff that leads up to this, but it's definitely going to be the test.
Wow.
So,
Yeah, because it's you just think it's light and easy, light and breezy. Because it's just a fair.
Yeah, it's just a fair.
When you look at what goes behind a fair like this, it's not just a country town fair.
No, this is the Super Bowl.
It's a massive,
massive
undertaking. Yeah. This whole thing. I mean, the fairgrounds are just trying to walk around it on a hot day.
Oh, forever.
You walk around the fairgrounds on a 90-degree day. And you're beat.
Yeah, dawn by noon, and you got there at 11:30.
Yeah, I mean it's a big area. If you just walk around and just look at animals, and just be there for 3 hours, you're mm-hmm. done. Three, 4 hours, And you're talking truck, you're talking smoke, you're talking on, I mean, on a truck with possibly a smoker running.
Yeah, well, that one's going to be running. We're going to have all of them going nonstop.
So, I mean, you're talking 100 plus degrees for, you know, 12 days in a row.
I held the thermometer by my head one time, and it was like 120, 125 just in the truck. So,
Having talked to people, that is just about the hardest thing about it is keeping yourself regulated under the hot conditions.
Oh yeah, it's tough. We stay hydrated. You know, I always, even though they're my friends, I always give them like little safety brief. You know, come on guys, you know, stay focused, stay good, you know.
Because you, I mean, sharp. It doesn't take that long to fall off at that temperature.
Oh no.
I mean, I'm sure it's happened to both of you.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, need to step out for a minute, you know, get refreshed, you know, but.
We've been working on our stamina.
Yeah, it's good, yeah.
At the window.
Yeah.
The window, yeah. Yeah, she's got it easy. She's in the window smiling at people.
I get a breeze.
Yeah.
So you're the front person?
Most of the time, yeah.
She's the face.
The smile, the greeting with a smile. And
oh, yeah. When I ask people how they're doing, they walk away when she says that they come up in order.
Yeah, the guy with smoke grime all over his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So, I mean, obviously, you guys, you're getting known for these big over-the-top creations.
Uh-huh.
How do you find the balance between focusing on the basics of barbecue and trying to come up with these new things that get you more press and get you mm-hmm. into bigger festivals and stuff like this?
I mean, I think I start with just making sure that what I need to be is perfect, like the brisket. You know what I mean? Like I focus most of my energy into making sure my meats are on point. And then the other stuff, you know, we just kind of play around with it, you know, and we see, you know, we could do this and we could add this and then we could do that, you know, so we stem away from the meat. It's not like I started with tater tots and was like, what can I make with that? It's like, I have this awesome brisket. How can I make it, like, serve it up to people differently? Like, well, I'll still serve a brisket sandwich, which is amazing, but, you know, I love to play with it, you know, and just get people's reactions and just kind of twist it around and, I don't know, I guess be creative. It's just fun.
Yeah.
So I just stick with what I know is good to start, you know, and build from that, so...
I mean, it's definitely the important part. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, if one of the parts sucks, mm-hmm. the whole dish is going to fail because of it.
Yeah. So even gravy, I was a little like worried about that a little bit because I've never really made much gravy. It's not hard, but you know. Oh, with the gravy too, I don't know if I told you, we use the drippings from the brisket. We've been saving them.
I mean, brisket's got a lot of fat, a lot of collagen, a lot of stuff breaking out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I got today was thick because of all that, all the meat stuff in it.
Yeah, that one thickened up a little bit too, but we're still perfecting. We're getting in there.
Yeah,
so.
But I mean, it's always a process. I mean, when you're learning something new.
Mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing I got to learn, I think, is the gravy. So
15 days and counting.
Oh, my gosh.
Is it only 15 days?
Only 15 days.
Wow. Yeah.
You got your orders in. You got all your meat.
Oh, yeah. They're going to deliver food to us every day on site.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. So it's nice for us because I'm not.
You can't store that much meat. I mean.
No. I mean, we got a lot of freezers and we got a lot of refrigeration, but still we're a food truck, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll have like a little back of house space. We'll have all my smokers and I'll be hanging out back there all the time, chained to the truck. Yeah.
Wow.
So it should be good.
Do you think you're ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
I think so.
I don't even want to think that we're not. I know we'll do good. Yeah, we're going to do the best we can, you know, and usually that's way more than good, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're ready.
All right, so.
We've handled 50-foot lines for days before.
Yeah.
50-foot, that's
100.
It. 100. Yeah. Yeah, that festival we did in Florida was crazy. 24 hours. I had to turn people away at 4 in the morning and say, I'm sorry, we need to clean up for 2 hours before we open for breakfast.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
What kind of festival was it?
Music festival.
Just generic, or was it like a specific...
It was kind of everything. Like Robert Plant was there, and then there was a lot of like electronic people, and then there was Mumford and Sons, and
they had rap.
Rap, yeah.
Okeechobee Music and Arts Festival. It was the first time they did it.
Okay, so it just brought a ton of diverse people out.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, it was great though. Everybody loved it. That's another thing I like too is that we've done all sorts of festivals with all sorts of different cultures of people, and we've gotten great feedback.
We saw a couple people that flew down from Rochester to go to Okeechobee.
Really?
And we saw them at the Food Truck Rodeo recently.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about how they waited in line. They waited in line for like an hour and a half for our food, and they said it was worth it every time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is cool. That's cool, too.
That's the most rewarding part.
When you go to a festival that's 4 hours long and your line's an hour and a half long, and people come in line twice, Yeah. That's saying something.
Oh, yeah. You know?
So that's kind of cool.
Do you, I mean, I'm just going to finish off with a weird question. So, I mean, you were at a big music festival. Do you guys have like a musical passion or musical genre you guys love?
Oh, man. I don't know. We play the blues a lot on the truck.
Yeah.
Do you? Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I really like it. It makes me feel good. It's happy.
Do you have a specific person or just like generic?
No, I guess I'll have to say Eric Clapton for my buddy Gabe, who he's our full-time employee. Me and him and Maeve run the truck.
You know, okay.
He's one of my best friends, and he loves Eric Clapton. So we play a lot of Clapton and stuff like that. So we like that. And then as far as, I don't know, I've gone through phases of everything. So...
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd say.
Classic rock is always good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And it suits the vibe. You got the American flag. You got the American looking t-shirts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, I mean, there's really nothing at this point that screams America more than classic rock.
Yeah.
Correct.
Oh, we rock it.
If you're out of blues stations, go to classic rock.
There you go.
That's how we do it. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right. Let's put the plugs in, guys.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Or
do you have your plugs? Social media, website, where you're going to be next?
Well, next we will be at the Hamlin Fireman's Carnival Friday night. Saturday we will be at Three Heads Brewing. Yep. Next Wednesday we'll be at the Food Truck Rodeo.
Yeah, the bonus Food Truck Rodeo. A lot of people don't know about that.
Bonus.
Let's make sure people... So this is going to come out Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Next Wednesday... Mm-hmm. Middle of the month food truck rodeo. Last time, very few people went to the middle of the month one.
Yeah, this is our last one we're going to be at because we'll be at the state fair for the end of the month one.
Yeah.
So
yeah, definitely go out and check it out. I'm sure they're still going to have live music. Everybody still shows up to this.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's a little less populated, there'll be less lines. So just go out and enjoy
it. Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, definitely come on out. So that was the nice part about it. You know?
We will not have the poutine tots, but we will have the award-winning loaded pulled pork tater tots.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, and then you're at the New York State Fair forever.
Forever.
We'll actually be at the,
the weekend
Flower City
the
Brewers Fest, August 19th, Friday night.
Okay.
At the public market.
And then he's taking a crew to Vermont for cider stock at Woodchuck Hard Cider.
Awesome. Yeah.
So that'd be cool. And then the fair.
Yeah, we're booked until...
Other than that.
And we're doing a wedding for 200 people during the first Saturday of the New York State Fair.
Right. I mean, other than that.
Other than that.
I think you guys need to be a little more busy.
Yeah. I mean...
I have so much spare time.
I should work for Monster because I drink all of it.
All the energies.
All the energies. Yeah. But yeah, if you want to find our events, we always update them on our website. It's smokeandpeats.com. We have our Facebook is facebook.com/smokeandpeats with an S. Our Instagram is @smokeandpeats. Our Twitter is @smokeandpeats.
Way to be.
Everything.
I like the consistency.
Nice and simple. Smoke and Peats. So, yeah.
And if you forget, you can find it all at smokeandpeats.com.
There you go.
It's all linked
and
through there.
Yeah. So you can find me at Stromy on Twitter or Instagram, Food About Town on Facebook, and... Thanks for coming over, guys. This was a blast.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
I'm really glad I got to talk some barbecue. Not a lot of people do.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice. Some people are like, yeah, it's good. I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's not usually where I end up.
Yeah. So, and we're excited for the fair. You know, that's really main reason we came out, too, is to talk about that. So
that's great.
It's going to be definitely a game changer for us.
Did you enjoy the poutine tots?
It was quite tasty.
Oh, we didn't even ask you about that yet.
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, it's a big dish. It's got a lot of, it's a huge umami bomb.
Yeah, it's definitely
And if you big. Want, you want meat on gravy on tater tots with
That's
with
what
cheese.
The fair wanted. They said over top and we're like, all right, we got you.
Oh, it's definitely that.
Yeah.
It's that in a good way. It's not crazy and it's not, you could make it way too salty. You could make it way too big.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a big dish.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe you don't want to eat the whole thing yourself, but it's a good dish. I mean, you're not going to complain when you're eating that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. The only thing you complain about is that you got two forks because your friend ate it all on you. So, awesome.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See everybody next time on the podcast.
Awesome.